someone mightier than me that could settle that account, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. This brought a verse into my heart when he was singing that song, and I'll share it with you. There's a verse in Revelation 12:10. You don't have to turn there. We won't be there long. It said, "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night." You see, that old devil, he'll bring things into your life that you can't settle. Every time you go before God, the devil in himself, when you was on the auction block of sin, the devil was saying, look at all the stuff he's done. And sometimes he brings that back up into your life. And you think, I'll never be good enough. I'll never be in a realm where I can please God. But I want to tell you, when Jesus died on the cross, he took away those sins. And my sins are gone as far as the east is from the west this morning. You're looking at a new creature in Christ. April 8, 1998, the Lord came to me and saved me. And that old account is gone. You can't bring up my past. They're gone. And they're in the sea of forgetfulness this morning. I'm glad they're gone. I'm glad that the old accuser is going to be cast down one day. And don't think that God in heaven ain't in control of that thing, because he is. If you have your Bible this morning, let's turn over to Daniel chapter number 3. Look at a passage of Scripture over here. Daniel, it's found in the book of Daniel chapter number 3. I'm glad some of you rolled your clock up this last night so you'd be here on time. The crowd that's going to get here at 12, they're going to look at they'll think the rapture may have taken place. Hopefully may get convicted and get to church on time. Anyway, the book of Daniel, chapter number 3 this morning. I want to look at a very familiar story this morning. Hopefully I can bring something out that will touch your heart. It's found, let's start reading in verse number 1 there. It said, Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits and the breadth 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Let me give you a little background of what's happened here in this story. If you, in the book of chapter 1, we find that Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, has been besieged by Nebuchadnezzar, and he began to take over. And what had happened was he told him to pick out some boys down there, the children of Judah or Israel, and they picked out old Daniel. And old Daniel and them began to, and he picked out Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And old Nebuchadnezzar, you know, he had a dream, and he wanted some interpretation of the dream. And he wanted somebody, he picked out his choice Chaldeans. You know, there was a great astrologers, there was great magicians, and no one could interpret the dream. And God had a man picked out by the name of Daniel who interpreted the dream. And let me tell you what happened. Nebuchadnezzar said this in chapter 2, verse number 47. And then the king answered unto Daniel and said, "Of a truth, that your God is a God of gods and Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldst reveal this secret." You see, old Nebuchadnezzar made a confession there. He said, "Your God is like no other God. Your God can interpret the dreams. He can see on the inside. He can see things that others couldn't see." And he picked out a perfect man, a man that had a great countenance of the name of Daniel. And he set him over the province, and he had three boys that was his under-shepherds there. And that was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And Nebuchadnezzar made this great image of gold. And the Bible said it was 60 cubits. It was some 90 feet high. And the Bible said it was 6 cubits wide. That means it was 9 foot wide. It was some huge image that they had set up to worship. You see, man is going to worship something. Man is made to worship something. You're either going to worship a little God or you're going to worship a big God. I hope here this morning you're here to worship the big God, but see, because this is the only God that lives. And Nebuchadnezzar rolled that king out. I want to say this morning before we get into this. I hope your God this morning can't be moved on a cart. I hope your God's not little enough. He can't just be rolled around. He can't be pushed around. See, this God Nebuchadnezzar had set up, he couldn't reach. He couldn't touch. Turn over to Psalms. I want to run a little rabbit right here because I believe it's important. Look in Psalm chapter number 115. Just hold your place there in Daniel. I want you to see this morning. It's found in the book of Psalm, chapter number 115. I try not to run too many rabbits in Sunday school, but I don't want to run one this morning. It's found in Psalm, chapter number 115, verse number 1. It says, "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and thy truth's sakes. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. And here it is. Their idols are silver and gold. They're the work of man's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. They have eyes, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses they have, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet they have, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are likened to them, so is every one that trusteth in them. Let me tell you what was going on there. They had little gods set up, and those gods couldn't speak to them like our God could. Their God couldn't hear. It was like Brother David preached the other night when he was Elijah was calling down fire from heaven. He made fun of those princes that could, the Baal, the little prophets of Baal that couldn't call God, couldn't call fire down from heaven. And you know, and old Elijah stood up and said, "Your God must be pursuing. He must have went on vacation." I'm glad I've got a God that never goes on vacation, and I'm glad He's here to meet our needs this morning. These boys, old Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, was going to find out their God was able. Nebuchadnezzar set up that king, and he said, "If what time you hear all these instruments of music that you bow down and worship?" I'm going to tell you, there were some old boys that wouldn't bow down and worship. What we need in our church house today is some people that wouldn't bow down and just worship anything. We have a God of heaven that desires our worship, and He desires our praise. You remember what it said over in the Bible, said over in the book of Exodus in the chapter number 20, verse number 3? Remember in the Ten Commandments, it says, "Thou shalt not have no other gods before me." It says this, that was in verse number 3. In verse number 4, it says this, "Thou shalt not make any graven images unto thee." And then it says in verse 5, "Thou shalt not bow down thyself to serve them." I want to tell you, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in this story was not going to bow, they wasn't going to bend, and they wasn't going to burn. It says this in verse number 2. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king set together the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, and the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the province to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes and the governors, the captains, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And then an herald cried, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the instruments and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up." Look in verse number 8. It says, "Wherefore at that time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews." And let me tell you what the Chaldeans were. Those same astrologers that they could not interpret the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had had. Now those Chaldeans had seen old Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they saw that they wasn't bowing down like the other people had done. And I'm going to tell you what, God spoke to me this morning. He said, "There's people that are jealous of you." So these magicians, these Chaldeans, was jealous of old Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego because they had been put in the spotlight because they were serving God. And I tell you what, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego wasn't, and Daniel wasn't able to interpret that dream by himself. He gave all the glory to God. If you look in chapter number 2, you'll see where Daniel, where he interpreted that dream. I tell you what he did. He worshiped God because God gave him the interpretation of the dream. But here, the Chaldeans saw that they picked them out. That, no doubt in my mind, as when they heard that old music play, and they looked, all of them fell down. They probably looked up to see if old Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was going to serve their God or was he going to serve the living God. I'm telling you, there's people around you that's going to look down at you to see whether you're going to serve God or not. See, these boys was fixing to walk through the fire. They was fixing to go through something they had never went through in their life. But I'll tell you what. The first thing I want us to look at this morning, we'll see that these servants were persistent. The servants were persistent. You see, these servants had the right character. You see, these servants, when they was on the backside of the desert or wherever they was still serving God. If you'll find in chapter number 1, you know what they did? They had the prince of the eunuchs, Melzar, came to Daniel, and you know what he said? He said, Daniel told him, he says, "You can prove us." I wonder if God's ever proved you. I wonder if He's ever proved you. See, sometimes God's going to put you through a trial to prove you. But not that you get the glory, but He would get the glory. You see, God proves us that at the end, all we can say is, "Give God the glory. Unto Him be the glory." They had the right character. They proved them 10 days over in chapter number 1. And you know what? What they had done was Daniel, he purposed in his heart that he wouldn't defile himself with the king's meat, nor would he drink their wine. And the prince of the eunuchs, his name was Melzar, came to Daniel, and Daniel said, just prove us. He said, give us 10 days. We won't eat your meat, and we won't drink your wine. And he said this. He said, we'll eat the pulse, and we'll just drink water. And I tell you, when they come out of those 10 days, the Bible said they was fairer and they was fatter. Their countenance didn't change. You see, God's given the Christian, I believe, a great opportunity, and He's given us great things in our life that we can walk through the fire, or we can walk through things that the world sees that we couldn't walk through and come out better on the other side. See, God's given you a special thing inside of you that to be able to pull you through that. They were servants with character. Not character is what you are. Character is what you are. I heard a preacher preach one time, and I'll tell you this story, and it's basically changed my life. I'll be honest with you, it's changed my life, what he said. You know, this is what he said. He said that the body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. We all believe that. Say amen if you believe that. He said this, and I'm telling you, this has changed my life forever for God. He said, if we were to bring in all kind of music in this church and we would listen to it, probably all of us would get mad, wouldn't we, and say, we ain't having that, wouldn't we? We was playing some kind of rock music. We was playing some kind of country music. We'd all say, well, that we ain't having that in our church. We ain't going to have any contemporary music. If we were to pull in a TV and have a TV show in here, we'd probably say, we ain't having that in our church, wouldn't we? If we were to bring in some kind of thing that was ungodly in our church, you know, and portray it out here in front of us, all of us would be mad. We'd probably say, we ain't going back, or something's wrong with that. And we would all find something wrong with it. And this is what he said. He said, but we'll go outside of the church and we would play our music in our car that's not pleasing to God, or we'd go home and watch something on TV that was not pleasing to God, or else we'd do something. He said, too many people associate the temple of God with a building. Yeah. Let me ask you something here. Are you here for the building this morning? Or are you here to serve God? I'm telling you, that message he preached, it so touched my life, it changed me because of that. See, these boys is going to find out that music that they was playing. I heard a guy, we was the other day going over through some stuff in our classes, and I heard a guy said this, and it forever changed me too. He said, people are trying to play rock music and play it backwards to get satanic messages out of it. And this is what he said about country music. And it's kind of funny, but it's true. He said, if you play that country music backwards, you know what you'll get? He said, you'll get your job back. Yeah. You'll get your wife back. Yeah. You'll get your dog back. You get all that stuff back that you lost. You get all this stuff back. Yeah. And that stuff has forever changed me to know that my body is a temple of the living God. Hey, you play that backwards, you'll get all that stuff back. You get your home back. You'll get your wife back. I'm telling you, God has put stuff, and it's so far, and it all has to do with our character. I wonder what you are outside of this church. See, old Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were servants that was persistent. They were men with character. Brother Abraham, when we was up at the couples retreat, he taught a message about a model couple and one that wasn't a model couple. And the model couple that he put in our life was Priscilla and Aquila. And I told him when he got done preaching that message up there, I had a Priscilla and Aquila in my life. I had one. And then one of them, part of them is sitting here today. I had a brother John D. Weathers, and I had a Miss Flo Weathers that was the Priscilla and Aquila in my life, the people that would take the men of God in and shelter them and give them comfort whenever they needed it. And I've been up under some Jezebels and Ahabs before in my life too. And I tell you, all it did was drove me further away from them. But these men had a right character. These men had character. They was going to be at church on Sunday morning. They was going to be at church on Sunday night. They was going to be at church on Wednesday night. These men had the right character. Not only that, they had the right commission. Look down in verse number 12. It said, there are certain Jews whom thou set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar in his rage and fury commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake unto them and said, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do you not serve my gods nor worship the golden image? And it says, now if you be ready at what time you hear the sound of these instruments, you fall down and worship the image I have made well. But if you worship not, you shall be cast that same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Let me tell you, these men had a commission. You know, God had set these boys aside to, not only to show Nebuchadnezzar that God was, that their God was actually alive and their God was real, but in their heart they purposed that they was not going to serve those little gods. You know, and in our life, I'm telling you, in my life, I purposed in my heart not to serve little gods. You see, there's a lot of things in this world that could be your God. You see, my job could become my God. And I purposed in my heart not to let it. You see, I work in a world that's in technology. I work in a world that doesn't shut down. I work in a world where your telephone, your cell phone doesn't work. Everybody's mad. But I'm telling you, there's somebody working on Sunday to keep that telephone alive. See, Sunday, these days, is not as holy as it once was. I remember growing up when on Sundays, you know, you just didn't, everything wasn't open. Now everything's open. There'll become a day when on Christmas will not be special anymore. Everybody will have to go to their jobs, and it'll just be some other day. I'm telling you, these men was a man of commission. They knew who they was going to serve. Not only was they a man of commission, they was a man of not compromising. You see, they was not going to serve this God, and they purposed it in their heart that they wouldn't serve Nebuchadnezzar. They wouldn't bow down to this God. The word compromise means to agree by adjustment. To agree by adjustment. I remember one time I was growing up, my daddy used to listen to Paul Harvey. I don't know if any of y'all ever heard of him speak, but he always gives some kind of a real story. And he spoke of a man that was fighting in the Civil War. And he got so afraid, he said, "Well, I'll tell you what I'll do." He said, "I'll put on some navy pants and a gray coat, and I'll just go out there like that." He said, "I'll be for both sides. I'll be for the North and the South." And Paul Harvey said this. He said that soldier marched out, and as soon as he got out there in the middle of the field, he shot from both sides. The North shot him and the South shot him because he didn't know what side of the fence we was on. I'm going to tell you, we're in the Laodicean church age. And this morning on the way to church, and this became real, there was a horse right there in Omaha. And if you know where I live, Omaha's just right up the road from me. He was leaned over that fence, getting that old grass on the other side this morning. And that's where we find ourselves. Oh, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you know what they said? They said, "We won't reach through that grass, through that fence to get that grass on the other side." He said, "I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll show you what side of the fence we're on." You see, the Laodicean church, you couldn't tell which side of the fence were. If the world was leaning one way, they'd lean with them. And if it was going the other way, they'd lean that way. And God said, "You got to get off the fence." He said, "I'd rather be cold or hot, or I'll spew thee out of the mouth." Our churches today are so on the fence. If somebody says something's wrong, you know, they call evil good and good evil, they're going to go with that way. We need to lean the right way. We need to lean the way the Bible says. They would not compromise. You see, the Bible is full of people who compromise. You remember Lot? He compromised with Abram, didn't he? He went after things he could see. He saw those well-watered plains of Jordan over there, and he went straight for them. You remember old Samson and Delilah? Samson, he would not cut his hair, but I tell you what, after he got with Delilah, I tell you what he did. He compromised and cut his hair, and I tell you what he did. His strength was gone from him, and he did not even know his strength was gone from him. The Bible is full of compromise with people who compromised. But I tell you, the ones you remember, the ones who didn't compromise. And I'm going to tell you, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not compromise because they were servants that were persistent. Not only were they servants that were persistent, they had a stand that was powerful. You see, these three Hebrew children was going to change the life of this province of Babylon. And they didn't even know it. Look down in verse number 16. It says, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, 'O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up.'" They had a stand that was powerful. You see, these men said, "Our God's able to deliver us." They said, "If not, we'll just go on up into heaven." He said that basically if he don't deliver us out of your hand and we burn up in the fiery furnace, he said, "It's better gain for us. Better gain." He said, "There's more waiting for us on the other side than they are down here." In other words, they had a you'll notice their beliefs. See, they believed God was able. I wanted this morning to actually believe God is able. You know, and in my prayer life, God has really changed me to know that He is able. You see, if you don't think God is able, you won't pray right. See, I pray prayers and I didn't think God was able before. Anybody, can I get a witness anywhere right there? You see, we don't pray believing. These boys knew that God was able to deliver them out of the hand of the Nebuchadnezzar. Not only their beliefs, but their boldness. And I'll tell you what, you'll never have boldness till you know what you believe. You see, there's been times in my life I was bold, but I didn't believe. But there's been times in my life I could believe and could be bold by my beliefs. You see, the things that matter in this world, which is this stuff we're talking about today, the stuff in the Bible, you can believe on it and you can be bold on it. You know why? Because it's the same today. It's the same. It was the same yesterday. It's the same today, and it will be the same forever. You see, this stuff right here will never die. You see, when this world's burning up, the Word of God will never burn up. The Word is. David said this. He said, "Forever thy word is settled in heaven." I'm telling you, this right here will never burn. You say, "What do I stand on?" This is what a lot of times I've used this excuse before. He said, "I pray about it." Well, God doesn't expect us to pray about stuff that He's already written in His book. A lot of times we use that as a cop-out, and we use that as a way to get out of it, a way of escape. And in my own life, I've actually used that same excuse. I said, "Well, I'll pray about it." What's God said about it in His book? If He said it in His book, why do we got to pray about it? It's already settled. And these old Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said it was settled. He said, "Hey, our belief is if He don't deliver us, we're just going to stand. We're going to make a stand." Turn over to Ephesians chapter number 6. Ephesians chapter number 6. This is what Paul said. Ephesians chapter number 6, verse number 12. Let's get verse number 11. It says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." It says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against darkness, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand." That word "stand" means to hold up. It means to establish. It means to continue. It doesn't necessarily mean stand up like you were sitting down. It doesn't mean that necessarily. It just means to hold up. You know, there's going to be things in the last days of the church age that we're going to see that's going to astound us. And I'm going to tell you, God's going to look for us to take a stand. You know why you need to take a stand? There's a generation coming after you that needs you to stand this morning. You see, if we don't stand today, our children tomorrow will never have a church. You see, most churches today have already compromised. They've already sat down. They've already got out of the way. And God's left the place. And He left a generation behind them that know nothing about God. They don't know how to worship God. They don't know the Bible. They don't need... And I can tell you this from experience. I didn't grow up in a Baptist church like Liberty Baptist Church. I grew up in a congregational Christian church. And I didn't even bring my Bible to church. When I got saved, it was embarrassing. The embarrassment was this. They told me to turn over 1 John. I didn't know there was a 1 John in the Bible. And I've been going to church all my life. I got saved, and the first thing God... I remember this. I was in college, and I was in a secular college, and they taught us two books of the Bible. We had to read the book of Genesis, and we had to read the book of Job. You know, and the first... I got saved. You know what I want to do? I remember writing a thesis on Job, and I said, and I didn't really understand it. I couldn't, because the Holy Ghost wasn't inside of me to actually lay that out, you know, and actually comprehend what I was reading. And I went through there. The first book of the Bible I ever read through after I got saved was the book of Job. And God gave me an understanding a lot better than I had when I wrote that thesis back in college. You see, today we have people that are up teaching. We have people that are up preaching that believe not the Bible. They don't believe this is the true Word of God. And they're willing to compromise on it. Give us some men like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that stand on this thing. Their beliefs. Paul said here, we need to stand. You need to hold on to what you got. You see, we don't need a new Bible. We don't need a new church. We don't need a new Jesus. We don't need a new cross. You see, so Solomon said this. He said, "Vanities of vanities." You see, we got God, and He never changes, saith the preacher. Not only did they have a stand that was powerful, They had a Savior that was present. Look back over in Daniel chapter number 3, verse number 19. It says, "Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and his form of visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Wherefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1 7 times more than it wanted to be heated." Those boys were fixing to get thrown in the fire. He said, "Heat it up." He said, he's got the furnace picked out. He said, "Furnace number 1. He said, "I know it had never been up this high." He said, "Heat it up about 7 times more than it ever has been heated." He said, "I'm fitting to throw them boys in there." You see, it made old Nebuchadnezzar mad when he couldn't get these boys to bow down to him. And I tell you what, it makes this world mad when you don't bow down to them. See, a lot of times we bow down to the world and we don't make a stand for God. And I tell you what this world is doing. This world is in a compromise this morning. They had a Savior that was present. Look on down. It says in verse 22, "Then therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, 'Did we not cast three men bound in the midst of the fire?' And they answered and said unto the king, 'True, O king.' And he said this, he answered and said, 'Lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God.'" I'm going to tell you what happened. Jesus didn't get out of the fire. He was already in the fire.
Amen.
He was already in the fire. Not only you'll see a Savior that was present in the fire, I want you to know our Savior could be found. You see, a lot of times we think Jesus runs from us. How many of you have ever had a time in your life where you said, "Where's Jesus at?" We've all thought that, haven't we? There's two times in the Bible that it says this. They knew not it was Jesus. There's two times in the Bible. It's found in John chapter number 20, verse number 14 at the tomb. Mary went to the tomb early that first Sunday morning, and she found the Lord was gone. He'd already been risen from the grave. And she supposing him to be the gardener, and said she knew not it was Jesus. The next time it said that verse was in John chapter number 21, verse number 4, where Peter went fishing. He said, "I go a-fishing." And he took all the disciples with him. And there was somebody over on the shore. And he says, "Children, have you any meat?" And they said, "No." And they knew not it was Jesus. You see, he was always by their side. Even though they didn't see him, even though they didn't sense him, you know where he was? He was always by their side. I want you to know this morning that he's always by your side. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. See, these boys were thrown into the fire, and he could be found. He was already in the fire waiting on those boys. Not only was he found, he was their friend. You see, Jesus don't get out of our trouble. He gets in our trouble with us. I'm sure those boys was probably singing in that fire, "What a friend we have in Jesus." They was probably thinking, "Man, we went through all this stuff, and he was already in the fire waiting on us." There was a Savior that was present. Not only that, and I'll close with this point. Let me give you this verse before we move on. You see, those boys went through the fire and they wouldn't burn, they wouldn't singed. Look over in verse number 27 there in Daniel chapter number 3. It says, "And the princes and governors and captains and the king's counselors being gathered together saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of the fire had passed on them." So these boys you couldn't even tell they walked through the fire when they came out on the other side. Nebuchadnezzar looked up into that fiery furnace. He said, "Hey, boys, y'all come on out." He said, "I know that fire couldn't hurt you." He said, "I figured I can't do anything with you." He said, "I couldn't hurt you. I couldn't cause you any harm." He said, "Y'all come on out." But I tell you where the fourth man is. He's still in the fire. Because he knew some children of God later on down the road would know that they needed some help. And they know that we'd walk through the fire and he'd be in there for us and that we could trust him. Isaiah 43:2 says this. It says, "When thou passest through the waters, I'll be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. And when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." I'm going to tell you, you may be walking through the fire this morning, but guess what? Don't worry, you won't be burned. And you'll come out on the other side better than you ever was, because you can look back and you see the God in the fire was always God, and he will always be there. Not only you'll see the servants that were persistent, the stand that was powerful, the Savior that was present, and I'll leave you with this. They had a service that was promoting. They had a service that was promoting. Look on down in chapter number 3, verse number 28. It says, Nebuchadnezzar spake, and it said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they may not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no God other than God, than no other God that can deliver out of this sword. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. You see, these boys stood. And I tell you what happened. They had a stand that was powerful, but they had a service that was promoting. You see, if you look back up in verse number 28, you say, well, how was their service promoting? The Bible said that they yielded their bodies. They yielded their bodies. Romans chapter number 12, verse number 1 says this, I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You see, these boys yielded their body. I wonder today, are we yielding our body? You see, these boys was doing what was right over in chapter number 1. See, a lot of times we think we're going to stand for God when in the past we hadn't been standing for Him. I'm telling you, we serve a God that we have. That if you're going to stand today, you had to be standing yesterday. You see, this thing just didn't start today. You see, God's going to make sure He's going to put things in your life that's going to come there. All that stuff that you said you was going to stand on, He's going to make sure that you're going to have to stand on it one day. And He's going to test you by it. These boys have proven it by their walk that they was going to stand for God. Not only that, they said they yielded their bodies, but secondly, it said that they had to worship. It said in the last part of that verse, it said that they may not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Now, let me tell you this. Worship is not so much hooping and hollering and waving your hands. Some of that, the Bible says we ought to do that. That's our reasonable service. That word reasonable service is our rational service. That's what we should offer. But worshiping God is when you're outside of these four walls of this church and you're out in the world and you're still doing what's right. And you're doing what God has told you to do. You know, worship, not, we think of worship as, you know, as hooping and hollering in a church. But I tell you, anybody that worshiped in the Old Testament, I tell you what they found themselves doing. They found themselves on their face before God, bowing down, become low. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they had a service that was promoting. You see, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they would not bow, they would not bend, and they would not burn because they knew they had a God that would deliver them. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day, Lord. You've given us. Thank you for all you've done for us. Lord, I pray, Lord, you're blessing our service this morning, Lord. Thank you for these men who stood the test of time, Lord, who have preached your word, Lord, who have stood that we could have a church like this today, Lord. And I bless your name for it. Thank you for all you do for us in Jesus' name. Amen.